Today I'm going to speak from Genesis again. So if you can show the slide. Okay. Oops. Okay. Yep. So I'm going to continue my series on Genesis, talking on Joseph. Okay. Anyone seen this musical? The Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor. What is it? Dreamcoat. Okay, yeah, you have seen it. Yeah, of course, it's a British musical, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, but I'm not going to talk about the dreamcoat. All right. A sister in Christ grew up in an extreme hostile family. During her childhood, her two older brothers and one older sister got addicted to drugs. Okay. Her childhood memory was dominated by images of hiding in a dark corner inside her room. Anyone of you have been through this kind of childhood? Probably no, right? Well, she always goes in hiding because her brothers would come home in a rage, knife in hand, pointing at family members to demand money to buy drugs. Any valuable in the home would be gone because her brothers would have taken those to pawn shops. And she remember once she had gathered some money, not easily, in order to see the doctor because she hurt her leg. But then her wallet was gone, and she found it at a second-hand store in Sham Shui Po. And another time, she borrowed a camera from a friend. That also was gone, and she saw it at the same second-hand store. And every night, she had been living in fear because there would be sudden at the door. The police would come looking for her brothers because they not only take drugs, they also traffic drugs. And she hated her home. Even her parents, she hated for giving birth to her brothers and sister. And she said, home should be a safe haven, a warm refuge. But for me, it's hell. So as soon as she completed her secondary education, she moved out immediately, expelled by the constant fear and hurt in her family, a place that is called home. She thought she would never forgive her brothers and sister for the pains they caused her. And when we look around the world this Easter, we realize this world is broken. Well, I know a lot of us come from a warm home, a good family, but also a percentage of us here probably come from broken families. And we tend to hurt each other quite easily, even among close family members. That's not surprising, because in the Bible, we've seen a lot of examples of broken families. And Joseph, whom we have been following in Genesis, he was also deeply hurt by his brothers. Flashback to last time, he was hated by his brothers because he got this dream coat given by his father. But not only that, he was the most loved child of his father, so his brothers hated him, and so they threw him into a pit, planning to kill him originally, but later instead decide to sell him into slavery into Egypt, a country far from home. If you know how far Egypt is from Israel. And Joseph, he had no way home, being falsely accused by his master's wife in Egypt. He was subsequently thrown into the prison for more than 2 years. All his suffering had been caused by his brothers, and his heart could not settle until after many years in Egypt, when he was 30 years old. So he was sold into slavery at the age of 17, around your age. And when he was 30 years old, he was promoted to be the second in command of Pharaoh. And he had a son. Then he was able to say, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. So clearly the hurt was deep. It would be just human to remember the hurt throughout a lifetime, right? So time quickly went by, and Joseph came into power in Egypt. And as he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, 7 years of abundance began. Joseph had made all the preparation, and he coordinated the Egyptian government to store grains in abundance in large storehouses. And then, let's read. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. Now can you imagine a drought so severe that it affected the whole world? Well, when the Bible says all the world came to Egypt, we don't find people from China or record of people from China going to Egypt how many years ago? 3,500 years ago, probably. Well, this is a way of giving us an idea of the extent of the drought, how it affected the whole Middle East and probably a large part of Africa. And so, let's continue reading. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all his people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Well, it had been 20 years since Joseph was sold into Egypt. He'd grown from 17 years old teenager into a 30. Now, by that time, he was around 37 or 38 years old. And he had the Egyptian makeup and costume. And he was also the second in command of Pharaoh. Okay? So, his brother would not dream of seeing their brother there, right in front. Now, given a chance for revenge, what would you do? The recognition of his brothers has aroused Joseph's long-buried hurt, and he had to recognize his hurt and probably resentment of his brothers deep within his heart. Just like the sister I mentioned, she recognized her hurt and hatred for her brothers. It's from this recognition that she was able to move on. Recognition alone isn't enough. Next, we think about maybe retribution, right? Given a chance to pay back, we would want to pay back. So now, Joseph has a chance to pay back for what his brothers did to him. He spoke harshly to them and made them scared. He even accused them of being spies. Okay, to simplify the matter, I've asked AI to draw me this picture. Okay, so you see, Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to see him and bow down before him, and that actually is a fulfillment of one of Joseph's dream many years ago. Okay, and Joseph said, "You have come here to spy out the land." Okay, and his brother said, "Well, we are honest people living in Canaan. We live with our father and a youngest brother." Okay, and then Joseph said, "You are lying unless you bring your youngest brother to come and see me." Okay, so Joseph was trying to scare them. Can you imagine you are just some normal people and you are in front of the most powerful man in Egypt, and then that most powerful man shouting at you, "You are spies! You are lying!" Okay, would you be scared? Yeah, okay. And his brothers, of course, denied being spies. And so Joseph held Simeon hostage and demanded the rest of them to go back and bring their youngest brother Benjamin to see him in order to prove what they said was true. Okay. And so they said to each other, let's read, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. So the brothers felt scared, worried, and fear for their lives. There is a Chinese saying, "Evil is rewarded with evil. If it hasn't been repaid yet, the time hasn't come." Yeah, you know what it is. Huh? In English, it's the same as the saying, "What goes around comes around," right? Or some people say, "Chickens come home to roost." Is that American? I don't know. Well, Hebrew people, they have similar idea of getting paid back for doing evil stuff. So now they learn it's retribution time. And so they went home, not quite willing to go back to Egypt. But after eating up the grains they brought up from Egypt, they finally convinced Jacob, their father, to let Benjamin to go with them to Egypt again to buy food. And so they were talking... where's my pointer? Oh, out of power. Anyway, you see the picture on the right. Okay, so Jacob letting them, bringing Benjamin to Egypt. And we get to the left, the most picture down the bottom. And Joseph welcomed Benjamin, of course, because Benjamin did not participate in the scheme, in the selling of Joseph. He was too young. And Benjamin was also from the same mother. Okay, all the other brothers were from different mothers. But Benjamin had the same mother as Joseph. So their bonding would be much greater than with the other brothers. Oh, by the way, do you notice anything wrong with this AI-generated comic strip? What's wrong? The text. Oh, sit. Ah, okay. Okay, yeah. Well, not only that, but also the age of Benjamin. It's a boy in the picture, right? Okay, just let you have some Bible background. Benjamin would have been 30 years old by that time. Okay, and also the brothers should be older, so they should, according to Hebrew custom, they should have beard, just like Steve. Yeah, many beard. Okay, so I asked AI to draw another picture, redraw the picture. Okay, now Benjamin appear much older, but look at the picture down the bottom left. Small man. Okay, and also somehow the AI add beard to Joseph. Okay, another Bible background. Egyptians, they don't keep beard, they shaved. They even shaved their head. Do you know why? Because in Egypt, there is a lot of sand, and there in the sand there would be bugs, sand fleas. So if they don't cut their hairs and if they have beard, all the bugs would come and live on their hairs. Okay? That's why Egyptians in the ancient time, they shaved their hair, they shaved their beard. Okay? So, AI, well, don't trust AI too much. The lesson is, AI can be wrong. Okay. Anyway, so I asked it to redraw again. It's still doing it wrong, so I gave up. But it's a good chance to give you some Bible background. Yeah. Oh, and according to Hebrew customs, all the men keep beard. So, in the Egyptians' eyes, the Hebrew people, they are dirty. Yeah. Okay. That's the ancient time, okay. Now back to the Bible. So, what am I up to? Okay, yeah. They brought Benjamin back into Egypt to see Joseph. And then Joseph somehow gave them a test. Now, what was the test? Well, Joseph ordered his servants to put his silver cup into Benjamin's sack amongst the grain. And of course, the brothers did not know about this. And on their way home, on their way back to Canaan, Benjamin was caught being the thief, all out of Joseph's intention to test his brothers. So now with the brothers abandon Benjamin and flee for their own safety, because Joseph said, okay, yeah, only Benjamin has to stay for what he did, and you, the rest of you can go home. Okay, if you are one of the brothers, what would you do? That's the test. And so, let's see what happened. It's from this test that comes the reconciliation, because this time, the brothers did not abandon Benjamin. They realized their own wrongdoing to Joseph in the past, and it caused their father Jacob much grief. They did not want to do the wrong thing again, because they know if they abandon Benjamin this time, Jacob would really die from the grief. So, let's read together. Then Judah went up to him and said, pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. Well, Judah, he was the one that suggested to the brothers to sell Joseph into slavery. more than 20 years ago. Now he was willing to sacrifice himself in place of Benjamin to take the punishment. And the brothers, they were remorseful for what they did to Joseph that many years ago. Now, don't just think that reconciliation would come naturally. There were times I met people who said, I would never forgive. I would never forgive my brother. I would never forgive my father for what he did to me. Or even spouses or children. I would never forgive my son for doing that. Have you met people like that? Do you know someone like that? Indeed, even when the wrongdoers apologize, they would not accept their apologies and insist on carrying the hatred for the rest of their life, right? You have met people like that. A hateful heart does not want to forgive. And there's no reconciliation without forgiveness. But here, when Joseph saw his brother's penitent heart, he was so moved, he cried. And let's read on. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Well, Joseph, he was ready to forgive his brothers. But do you realize, he even said, do not be angry with yourself for selling me here. Wow, that's really hard to say, right? It's one thing to forgive the wrongdoers, okay? But to tell them not to be angry with themselves, for selling him into Egypt. Well, if someone wrong against you and the wrongdoer come and say sorry to you, okay, what would you do? Okay, yeah, I can forgive you, but know what you have done wrong and you should repent for what you have done wrong, right? But Joseph even said not to be angry. That's beyond any human nature, right? And what's the reason for him to be able to say that? Let's read on. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. So he made me father to Pharaoh, lord of this entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. He even kissed his brothers. Wow. Joseph could forgive his brothers because he feared God, and he understood everything was in God's hand, even his misfortune in his early days. That's why he was able to forgive his brothers and even embrace them and kiss them. And that's the power of love that God bring to this earth. And so they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt. If you were the father, would you believe? Well, are you kidding me? You told me he was dead. That 27 years ago, and now you tell me he's still alive and even became the ruler of all Egypt. So Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived, and Israel, that's the new name of Jacob, he said, I am convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. And so Jacob went to Egypt, reunite with Jacob, with Joseph, and the whole family was reconciled. So we see this reconciliation from the recognition of the hurt to temptation of retribution. But Joseph did not fall into that temptation of retribution. Rather, he gave the brothers a test to see their true heart. And finally, it comes to reconciliation. So Joseph's life was actually a journey from rejection to redemption. We see in Joseph's life, he was rejected, mistreated, and suffered. But God raised him up to save people in the famine. And Joseph forgave the very brothers who hurt him and brought the family back together. Now, actually, can you think of another person in the Bible who had been rejected but finally became redemption? Jesus, of course. Jesus, he was rejected and killed, but God raised him up to forgive sinners and welcome them into God's family. Reconciliation between man and God. And through Joseph's suffering, there was salvation for the family. Joseph's story is a picture of what Jesus would do if we see the chart comparison. Okay, so Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob, and Jesus was the beloved son of God. Joseph was sold into Egypt to be a slave because of his brother's sin. And Jesus came to the world to be a servant. Okay, in Greek, slave and servant can be the same word. Jesus came to the world to be a servant because of human sin. Okay, and Joseph was accused falsely and put and suffered in prison. And Jesus was accused falsely by the Jews and sent to suffer death. And Joseph forgave his brothers for their wrongdoings. And Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they did, what they are doing. Jesus forgave sinners for the wrongdoings. And Joseph then was released from prison and rise to be the ruler of Egypt. And Jesus, he was released from the power of death and rise to be the king of heaven and earth. And the brothers could not recognize Joseph in his glory at first. And interestingly, on Easter morning and even into the afternoon, when the disciples, when they first saw Jesus, did they realize Jesus? No, they did not realize Jesus. Because after resurrection, Jesus had a new glorious body. And his appearance would be so different to what he looked before the cross. And the brothers, Joseph's brothers, they were sent back to bring good news to Jacob and for us, follower of Jesus. What are we sent to do? To bring good food? Well, we are sent to bring good news to the world, okay? And for Jacob, we see redemption results in reconciliation of the brothers with Jacob. And for Jesus, we see redemption results in reconciliation of the world with God. Isn't it beautiful? Well, Joseph, we call this in Bible, we call this a type for Christ. And in the Old Testament, we can find different places where it's we can find snippets of Christ, and we call those a type for Jesus. And even Judas, remember in the passage we just read, Judas, he was willing to substitute for Benjamin to take the punishment. Okay, that's called substitution. Jesus substitute in our place for our sins. And so I asked AI to draw another picture. Okay, that's Jesus being caught and then in front of Pontius Pilate for the judgment, and he was sent to the cross and he was buried in the tomb, but then he resurrected. And later on yesterday, Jesus broke bread with the disciples. Interestingly, after the resurrection, the gospel record a few places where Jesus appeared to his disciples. And guess what? It always involved food. Yeah, Jesus broke bread with the disciples. And then Jesus appeared again, and in order to prove he was alive and not a ghost, he asked them for a fish to eat and ate the fish in front of the disciples. And later on, when they were at the lake of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples could not catch any fish, and Jesus prepared some fish for them to eat. So it's a day to celebrate Easter with food. And this is to foreshadow in the future when Jesus comes back, the last picture, Jesus is going to come back and we are going to have a banquet with Jesus. And that's the big reconciliation. Now, the sister I mentioned earlier is Sister Wilma. Some of you have met her. Yeah. Some years ago, she trusted in Jesus, and also her brothers also trusted in Jesus and gave up drugs. So Wilma found peace in Christ and forgave her brothers and sisters. So you see Wilma hugging her brother. Her brother who was once deep into drugs. And now the whole family could sit together around the table and have a meal together. It's a beautiful picture of Christ's redemption, bringing about reconciliation. So, like Joseph to his brothers, come to Jesus today for your redemption. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because you have been rejected and died on the cross. But through your death, you substitute for us in our place for the punishment for our sins. And that by believing you, we may have eternal life and we may be washed clean. And Lord, we thank you for your redemption and for bringing us back into the family of God, that we may be reconciled with God the Father. And through the story of Joseph, we see how important it is to forgive and to reconcile. So Lord, help us to forgive those who have hurt us, and help us to have reconciliation. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.